Well, good morning, church, and what a joyful time we've had with our worship this morning. That's been so uplifting. Now, if you'd like to open your Bibles, Acts chapter 3, we're going to look at. It's such a well-known passage. I'm sure you all know it very well, but we're going to have a look at it this morning. So Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Loving God, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we pray that you would prepare our hearts and open our hearts to hear what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Have you ever stopped to think about who you are and how you got to be who you are? I'm sure you have. And have you ever wondered how you have got through all the things you have been through? As I think of some of the things I've been through, some of the foolish and wrong things I've done in the past, I'm amazed I'm here this morning. But seriously, have you ever thoroughly considered life? I ask this because too many people today are so busy looking at what is crippling them, be it their problems, their needs, their area of weakness, that they fail to see the big picture of their own lives. Taking a look at our own life can be a bit depressing if that's the point where we end our search. Yes, we may be who we are, but we are not yet who we will be. God has bigger and better things ahead for us because he has an even greater purpose for our lives. From our reading in Acts chapter 3, I want us to initially look at the life of a crippled man who was carried every day to the gate Beautiful. In this account, we find that he had not become crippled as the result of an accident or illness. He hadn't fallen off the top of a roof, or been thrown from a horse, or been run over by a cart. No, this man had been crippled and he had never known anything else. All his life, his feet and ankles had never had any strength. His lameness was not a disease, rather, it was a weakness. Think for a moment about the tragedy of that. As a child, he had never been able to stand or walk or run or play like other children of his age. His parents would have had to carry him everywhere. No doubt there were many opportunities that were denied him because he was crippled. And now he's a grown man, for Acts 4 verse 22 says he was over 40 years old. And every day his friends had to carry him to the Gate Beautiful so he could beg for a living. There had never been a day in his life when he had not been a burden to somebody. He could not walk. He could not work. All he could do was beg and hope that people would have pity on him. This crippled man begging at the Gate Beautiful symbolizes for us the reality of tragedy in life. As we look at him, we are reminded of the fact that everywhere we look, there is human hurt, human suffering, and human tragedy. Sometimes this displays itself through physical affliction, such as this man had, but more often than not, it goes unseen to human eyes. For everyone who is crippled physically, there are literally tens of thousands who are crippled emotionally, and there are hundreds of thousands who are crippled spiritually. The message of this man at the Gate Beautiful is that there are needs to be met in human lives everywhere, and those needs often exist in lives that outwardly seem wonderful. How many are there, I wonder, in our area of Suffolk who appear outwardly to be doing okay, yet inwardly they are struggling? Perhaps they're overstretched financially, or they don't know what to do with their children, or their marriages are falling apart, or their retirement is not going as planned, or their job is hanging by a thread. Maybe they've lost confidence and self-respect. They're feeling guilty and depressed and don't know where to turn. Behind every door, there is human need. Every person has a story to tell. We've all been hurt. We've all been used. We've all failed. And we all need healing. We need Jesus. And that's the biggest need that anyone has. People need a touch from God. The crippled man at the Gate Beautiful also needed a touch from God. Every day he sat and begged and was oblivious to the good news of God. He couldn't get to church, and it's not certain he would have gone if he could. After all, why should he go? What was there for him? Unfortunately, this is the attitude of many people today. They hurt, but they hurt in silence, not being willing to share their intimate hurts with anyone else. And sometimes church is the last place they want to go to. But even if they have a good view of church, there's not always much to motivate them to drag their tired bones out of bed in order to come along to one of its services. This crippled man may have been like that. Who would bring him a touch of God? So we find Peter and John coming to the temple to pray at the ninth hour, which is 3 o'clock in the afternoon. On their way, they encountered this crippled man who was begging for money. Now look for a moment at the motivation of Peter and John. They saw in this man an opportunity to minister the touch of God. Their lives had been turned around by Jesus, and now they wanted to share what they had received. That was their motivation. So they stopped and said to the crippled man, "Look at us." And he looked at them, thinking they would give him some money. But Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." What that man wanted was money, but what he needed was healing. And so Peter told him they didn't have what he wanted, but they had what he needed. The crippled man wanted to fill his cup, but God wanted to fill his heart. He wanted a handout, but he was about to receive a hand up. Peter could not give the crippled man silver or gold because he had none. He could only give what he had, and so it is with us. If we do not possess a living relationship with Jesus Christ, we will never be able to impart a touch of God to others. We can only impart what we have, so it's important we take care of our spiritual life. And it's important that we don't let the things of this world get in the way. There is an often told story of Thomas Aquinas, a 13th century theologian, when he visited the Vatican and found Pope Innocent IV counting a large sum of money. "Ah, Thomas," said the Pope, "no longer can the church say like Peter, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" "That's true, Your Holiness," said Thomas, "and neither can the church now say, 'In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.'" The apostles didn't have silver or gold, but they had the power of God. What we need are not so much the things of this world, but power. Power to touch people's lives with the presence of the living God. Power to reach out to people and lift them out of their tragic circumstances and give them hope and healing, friendship and fellowship. This was the ministry of Peter and John, and this is our ministry as well at River of Life today. If anyone here is suffering with a crippling problem, then something needs to be done. The crippled man who was laid daily at the Gate Beautiful had an unsightly problem, and he had little ability or desire to enjoy the beauty of the place where he was sitting. Moreover, he had very little ability to receive the fullness of the promises that others were receiving. Yes, he was living in the promised land, but as a cripple, he was not allowed into the temple. For according to the law, his condition made him unworthy to participate in the rituals of the temple. And it's also true today that many are close to being in the right place, but they aren't fully there. They are just close enough to the church to know what's going on, to know who's who and what's being preached, but they are not all the way into the body of Christ, so they can experience the fullness of God's power and provision in their lives. They are stuck at the gate. Some even know when to kneel and when to raise their hands. They know the songs on the screen. They know precisely what time the service should start and end. They know the formalities. They take all the customs of the church in their stride and from a distance. But they never get all the way into the place where they can receive God's touch and blessing. Peter wanted the crippled man to be touched and healed by God. So he wanted this man to pay close attention to what he was about to do. He wanted him to really hear him. When Peter said, "Look at us," I believe he may have got right down into the face of that man and locked his eyes on that man's eyes, so that everything else in that crippled man's awareness was shut out. And then Peter spoke to him with a name. Every one of us needs a name that is stronger than the devil's name, a name that is stronger than our problem, a name that is greater than our need, a name that is more powerful than our pain. The name is the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is the name of Jesus, who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart, exalted above the heavens. There is no other name that can heal that part of us which is crippled. Only the name of Jesus can. But then Peter went beyond words. He did what needed to be done. The crippled man at the Gate Beautiful heard what Peter said, but the words themselves had no visible effect on his life. We may hear a sermon and in our mind say amen, and then find that nothing changes in our life. People in great need all around us may hear about the love and mercy of God, the blood of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet not experience any of it for themselves. Peter put the name of Jesus into action. He reached down and took this crippled man by the right hand and lifted him up. And it was as Peter pulled this man to his feet that the crippled man's feet and ankles received strength. This man, who had never walked, didn't need any help walking. No, he only needed help getting up on his feet. Once he was up on his feet, he went into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. Out and about and around this church, we are already helping people, but there are still many others who need us to help them to get to their feet spiritually, emotionally, and in some cases physically and materially. They need us to speak the right name into their lives, the name of Jesus. When Hazel and I fell in love, she lived in Northern Ireland and I lived in Suffolk. We lived separate lives. But when we married, she took my name. We became one. And whatever I had was hers too. She could even sign checks in my name. Scary. Likewise, when we commit ourselves to Jesus Christ, when he becomes our Lord, the most important person in our life, we become one with him, and spiritually our family name becomes Jesus Christ. In other words, as part of God's family, we have the right to use the powerful name of Jesus Christ. As Christians, Romans 8 verse 17 tells us we are joint heirs with Christ, and so we have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And what incredible authority we have been given. For in John 14, Jesus said, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. These words of Jesus contain a remarkable promise. They tell us that whatever we ask, anything at all, if we ask it in the name of Jesus, he will do it for us. It would be hard to find a promise broader than that. Whatever you ask, in my name, I will do it. Some Christians think that in Jesus' name is a kind of open sesame or abracadabra, as if saying the words, we're doing the Christian equivalent of rubbing Aladdin's lamp. But when we truly pray in the name of Jesus, we're presenting to God all that Jesus is, not all that Andrew is, or Jack is, or Sarah is, or anyone else. To pray in Jesus' name is to pray exactly what Jesus would pray in any particular situation. It means praying as if Jesus was praying instead of us. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, we are told that when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In this passage, Jesus told us to heal the sick, not pray for the sick. This radical statement might cause alarm in certain circles today, but these are the exact words of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're constantly told that it's not us, but God who is the healer. And that's right. But let's also understand that God has placed his healing power under our authority, and it's up to us to release it. The Lord has done his part, and now it is up to us to do ours. We need to take the authority he has given us and command the power of God. A few years ago, I heard a testimony of father and son out shopping in the high street. Suddenly, the little child jumped out into the middle of the traffic. There was a car heading straight for the boy. There was no time for the father to do anything except shout the name of Jesus. Straight away, the car screeched to a halt, inches from the boy. The father went round to the driver's side of the car that had managed to stop so suddenly. He saw that the driver was weeping, and so he said, "Why are you crying? My child was not hurt." The driver replied, "My foot never touched the brake pedal." Jesus, in John 15, said that apart from me, you can do nothing. That's why our relationship with Jesus is so important. It's our relationship with him that gives us the authority. The name of Jesus has been given to us to live in and walk in. The name of Jesus gives us authority, for the name of Jesus is above every name. It's the name above darkness, evil, death, and Satan. It's the name above worry, fear, and anxiety. It's the name above depression. It's the name above addiction. It's the name above cancer and every crippling disease we can think of. If there's something crippling you, something needs dealt with, come forward and have the name of Jesus declared over you and your situation. If you want a touch from God or a blessing, then come forward and have the powerful name of Jesus spoken over you. If you want to commit your life to God, then come forward and receive the name of Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Sometimes we can come to church hardly expecting anything at all, as Steve told us earlier on this morning. But I'm believing for something greater this morning. I'm believing that God has circled today on the calendar as an opportunity for a breakthrough. So come with expectancy that God is going to do something new and fresh in your life today. So if the band would like to come up and play their last song. And can I invite anybody who would like to come forward for a touch from God? You know, there's nothing better than to come forward and submit to the Lordship of God this morning. His name is a strong tower. He is great and mighty, yet his ministry is gentle. I'm hoping today that we have the faith to believe that God can do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine this morning. So if anyone would just like to come forward for the name of Jesus, we're not going for a complicated prayer. We're going to believe in the power, just the power of Jesus, that we can speak that over you. Whatever your need is, I don't need to know that. God knows what your need is. God knows what the situation is.